Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I've always had a pretty good memory, though I've noticed in the last number of years that it's not quite as sharp and quick as it used to be. It's still pretty good. But when I was 12 years old, my family vacationed out in California. And as we were driving along in the San Diego area, I told my dad that I recognized where we were at and that I knew the way to the place where we were going. Well, my dad didn't believe me because we'd only been to this place one time before. That was 6 years ago when I was 6 years old. Only time we'd ever been to San Diego before. But I insisted that I recognized where we were at and I knew the way to the place we were going. Well, my dad still didn't believe me, but my dad was always up for some adventure. So he told me that he would give me a chance to guide us on our way, that he would turn wherever I told him to turn and see where we ended up. And much to his surprise, without a single wrong turn, I got us to our destination. Now, I don't know how I remembered that, but I did. Somehow, I could see it as clear as day in my mind. It's that same memory that caused me a lot of trouble in my days of playing high school and college tennis. Because you see, in tennis, as in many sports, it really helps to have a short memory. The last thing that you want to do is remember the last bad shot that you hit. You're going to have a hard time moving forward and winning the match if you're always looking backward. And as such, there were times that I lost points and even entire games because I was dwelling on the past bad shot or a bad call. You simply cannot press and move forward, can't win the match, if you're always letting your past mistakes hold you back. Well, that's true in life, and that's true in our walk of faith, too. In our text this morning from Philippians, Paul wrote in verse 13, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul realized, or he had come to realize through his relationship with Jesus, that he could not draw closer to God if he continued to dwell upon his past, if he continued to remember all those things that were behind him. And believe me, there was a lot behind him. Paul had left behind him a life that many in the world, certainly many in Judaism, would have admired and envied. As Lucille read a few moments ago, he was a Hebrew among Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day from the tribe of Benjamin, zealous for the law, a Pharisee, a persecutor of the Christian church. He was kind of like a superstar Jew. He was the type of Jewish man that every little Jewish boy would have wanted to grow up to be like. But he had to leave all of that behind him in order to know Christ Jesus as his Savior. Because all of that stood in the way of giving God all the glory. And Paul had a substantial amount of sin that he also needed to leave behind him. As I stated a moment ago, Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was perhaps even responsible for the deaths of some of the family members whom he would later teach and instruct and for whom he prayed. He had been public enemy number one for the Christian church. He was a wretched man, worst of all sinners by his own admission. And thus, for him to know Christ and to know the power of Jesus' resurrection and to live a life that honored and worshiped and trusted in God, a life that was not tormented by Satan, but that trusted in Jesus for forgiveness, he needed to forget what was behind him. Because, like I said, Paul had blood on his hands. There was a trail of death and persecution behind him, a trail that he had initiated. And he simply could not move forward in his relationship with Jesus if he kept looking at his past. That same thing is true for each one of us. If we want to know Christ, and I mean truly know Him, and know the power of His resurrection, one day to attain to the resurrection of the dead ourselves, then we must learn to let go of those things that are behind us. We must learn to subjugate, maybe even eradicate, those things in our lives in which we find our most pride, in which we gain the most worldly glory. For Paul, those things included his authority and his status in the Jewish community. He needed to let those things go, put those things behind him, so that his sole focus could be on living a life that brought glory and honor to God and not to himself. What is it in your life that you need to relegate to a lower position? Or maybe get rid of completely, so that you can pursue Christ with an undivided heart. Is it your job? Your hobby? Your vice? Your addiction? Whatever it is, and no matter how important it is to you, it cannot compare to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. And so, whatever that thing is, you need to put it behind you. In other words, release your hold on it or its hold on you. Whereas Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. But you cannot hang on to and honor both God and the things of this world. And thus Paul let those things go. He lost them. He considered them rubbish that he might gain and serve and grow in Christ. And Paul did one other thing also that we must learn to do also. He let go of and he forgot his past life of sin. See, he could not press on towards salvation That which Jesus had suffered and died and rose again to win for him. If he continued to look back at his sin, he had to learn to trust and to believe that God's grace truly was sufficient for him, no matter how bad his sin was. He had to believe that his sins had already been forgiven by Jesus' sacrificed blood on the cross. That no matter how wretched of man that he was, that nothing could separate him from the love of Christ. And that God in his grace would one day raise Paul from the dead on that great last day. And that he would then rescue him from this body of death. And all of that is true for us also. So we, like Paul, must learn to let go of our past sins, to entrust them to the sacrifice of Jesus. God's grace is sufficient to forgive whatever sins we've committed. And because Jesus has forgiven us and chosen to remember those sins no more, we must follow his lead also and let them go. Focusing our attention and our life on future service, not on past sins. You see, here's the reality. Because of Jesus, we have already been called heavenward in Christ. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Our rooms have already been prepared in God's heavenly mansion. There's no reason to hang on to our past. Our life with God, our eternity with Him, our resurrection, our glorification, our victory over death, all that lay in the future. And so that's what we press toward. That's what we strain toward. That's what we focus on. Because as Paul would say, only a few verses after our text this morning, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. May we believe that and live that each day of our earthly lives for the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.